Well, good morning, guys. How are you today? Welcome to the Graham Show. I don't know how long this Graham Show title is going to last, but I'm enjoying it this week. How's your day going? Grab a cup of tea or a cup of coffee wherever you're at and sit down with me for a few minutes. Well, today is actually my birthday. Remember the 7th of November. It's actually the 5th, but no. Today's my birthday. Don't ask how old I am. It is a secret, but no. Sesame Street is brought to you by the number 51. So I'm actually 51 today, and I'm going to have a great day. I'm about to go to my office, do a few things, and I have an outreach today, a Jesus 2020 event, like a gospel healing event in the outdoors in the center of Sturbridge where we live. So I'm looking for, you know, really, people sometimes say to me, Graham, what can I get you for your birthday? And I kind of have everything I need, everything I want, but I would love it if you'd come and bring somebody who doesn't know Jesus. The very best gift you can ever have is bringing a soul to Jesus. So I'm all about that, all about the mission. Hey, a real practical thing, if anybody wants to give me a gift, I don't need a gift, but I have a fundraiser for some new video equipment. I have a camera that's a little dodgy, and I'm looking to upgrade and replace that. So I'll have a link below. There's a fundraiser I have on Facebook to buy some new video equipment. If anybody wants to throw a few bucks for that, or frankly, any other great kingdom cause, I would appreciate that. Good. Great. Well, where are we going? Let me talk about something today. Maybe this is contentious, but I want to, it's interesting. I've had a lot of conversations recently with people about prophecy, particularly prophecy in the light of the elections. And I just want to throw a few thoughts at you guys while I drink tea at that today. So I hope this isn't contentious, because everything I'm saying is 100% Bible. And I actually don't think anybody could really disagree with what I'm going to share here. But, you know, it's interesting. I think I'm really naive. I think that's a good side of me, because it stops me being cynical. But at times I don't get how much people really need good teaching. I think as a Christian, I forget at times that I grew up with really amazing parents who love God, who were born again, spirit-filled parents in great churches around great teaching, and that I have been a believer since 1984, and really, you know, even since, you know, the first days of my Christian life, I've read books and listened to teaching voraciously. And it's probably something to do with my gift or my calling as well. But I've always been that kind of person. I'll ask questions and plow, and how does this work? And how does this piece connect with this piece? And that's just how God's hotwired me. And I don't think anybody else needs to necessarily be that way. But I know we need people in the kingdom of God who are that way. You know, Peter wasn't really that way. Peter was let's go and do something for Jesus. Paul was that way. I'm not comparing myself to Paul, but so we need thinkers in the body of Christ. But I'm saying that to actually say, and I don't mean this in any sense of false humility, at times I forget how much, sometimes people don't get things that are quite clear to me, or at times how much people have been around teaching which is not good faith-based word teaching. And that they, you know, I'm at times I forget how many people actually really do love God, and they're born again, they've got God's spirit in them, and yet they're so full of superstition, and they are, you know, sometimes it's their background, but just their lack of teaching, it makes them superstitious. They wander around, you know, if I would come to you today with a set of beads and a holy rabbit's tail and all of these kind of things, I hope you would laugh at me. Laugh with me. But at times in charismatic, spirit-filled, Pentecostal Christianity, people are doing the same things. And there's times where, I mean, God loves us no matter what we do, but he wants us to grow and learn. And I believe he wants us to have biblical principles by which we live. And I am just seeing, to be honest, I've seen in the last week or so, a lot of really good people who really love God and want God's best and want God's purposes. But at times, a lack of framework for understanding the prophetic. So let me throw a few quick thoughts at you guys today as I slurp my tea. I'm not sure you could disagree with anything I'm going to say here, but if you do, disagree in the comments, and I'd love to talk with you about this stuff. But A few quick thoughts. Number one, prophecy is biblical. Let me say that. Prophecy is biblical. I will quite often come across churches who will say, we're a Bible-believing church, but we don't practice prophecy. And when I get with those pastors, I love them, I buy them lunch, but I say, you're not a Bible-believing church. You can say, we're a Bible-believing church, or you can say, we don't practice and do prophecy, but you can't do both. Because if you're a Bible-believing church, the Bible says, do things decently and in order. And the very next verse says, don't forbid anybody to speak in tongues and don't shut down prophecy. Prophecy is a really important thing. The gifts of the Spirit are not optional. So if anybody watching me goes to a church where they don't let people speak in tongues and prophesy, God says your church is indecent. And God says your church is out of order. I'm teasing you, but I'm not condemning anybody. I'm simply saying that's not Bible order. And yet at the same time, if I could even talk about tongues, Paul's whole thing about tongues in 1 Corinthians 12 through 14 is he's like, I'm for it, not against it. Paul writes to the Corinthians and he says, I want you all to speak in tongues. He says, I speak in tongues more than all of you put together. He says, I'm the biggest tongue-talking Christian you've ever seen. I'm paraphrasing. But then Paul says, learn how to do this. Learn some principles. Learn that it's not the only trick in the book. It's not the only thing God wants you to do. And learn the place it should take and what it means and what it doesn't mean. So number one, prophecy is biblical. If you say we don't accept prophecy, I'm saying you're tearing chunks out of the Bible. Principle number two, though, prophecy isn't Bible. So prophecy is biblical. It's something we should do. But here's my point. Number two, a prophecy is not an equal to a word in the Bible. What do I mean by that? I mean, if you reject what God's written word says, you have a problem. You don't have the right. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. Rebuke, instruction in righteousness, etc., Paul says to Timothy. And we don't have the right to judge scripture. The Bible says, the psalmist said that God's word is tested seven times. God's word has already been tested. When you pick up the Bible, you actually don't get to test it. Do I accept this verse or do I reject this verse? No, it's already tested. In fact, the real secret is the Bible, you don't test the Bible. The Bible tests you. Yeah. The Bible says of Joseph, the word he got tested him in prison. And at times when you're going to stand on one of God's words, it will test you. The word is not going to fail. You know, you might fail possibly, but the word will never fail. So we don't need to test God's word, but we do need to test prophecy. So Paul says in 1 Thessalonians, do not despise prophecy. But then he says, test all things and hold fast to that which is good. So when we get a prophetic word, we should test it. It's not wrong to test it. And again, I want to be clear there that there are some of what I've seen in the last few days are people who think it's wrong to test prophetic words. Again, I want to say this so people really get it. I am hearing really good people who maybe just love God but don't know the Bible so well who are propagating the idea that it's wrong to test prophecy. Now, I want to be clear, it's wrong to despise the concept of prophecy, okay? It's wrong to just, hearing from God and laugh at it and mock that thing. That's wrong. But it's wrong if somebody comes and says, hey, the prophets have said this and we all have to believe them. No, you get the right to test things. And I'll share with you how to test things in a minute. But don't ever let anybody spin you the lie that we shouldn't have to test things. I have been given many, many words in my life, words through me to other people or words to me, and some of them have been amazing and life-changing, and some of them have not been God, and some of them have been inaccurate. And sometimes it's not that the person was a false prophet and an evil messenger of Satan. Sometimes they just spoke from their own spirit or they were trying to be nice and, you know, that kind of thing. So anybody who tells you you're not allowed to test prophecy, you know, pat them on the head and go back to the Bible. Because the Bible says, don't despise prophecy, but test all things and hold fast to that which is good. How do we test prophecy? It's actually really easy. There are, I could give you probably 20 tests, but let me give you four or five real quick. Number one, does it line up with the Bible? Is it biblical? So if somebody gives you a prophecy, and I have heard this, once I went to preach in a church in Pennsylvania, And when I arrived there, this is a true story, the pastor said to me, he said, I mean, I came into the guy's house, had a meal with his wife and his kids. And then later in his office, he said, I'm going to divorce my wife and God's told me I'm going to marry my secretary. And I was like, huh? And then he said to me, true story, he said, I'm praying that my secretary's husband dies. And I went, huh? And I basically said to him, I don't care how many angels you saw or how accurate this prophecy was or whatever, that's not God. And I actually said to him, I'm not going to preach in your church. I can't do anything which would give anybody else the impression that they should follow you. I said to this man, you've got to repent. End of. So any prophecy, it doesn't matter how weird and wonderful it is, if it contradicts the Bible, throw it out. Okay? Really, really clear. Now, again, let's be clear. There are some words that people would give that won't necessarily contradict the Bible. If I were to prophesy that a tornado is going to blow through your town before the end of the month, you couldn't go to the Bible and say, is that true or is that not true? Okay. So test number two is, does it happen? Yeah, does it actually happen? That's the test Moses gave them in Deuteronomy. When a prophet says something's going to happen, does it happen? And at times we need the humility. And I think with the elections, this is one of those moments to say, I'm not going to judge that. I'm not going to condemn it. I'm not going to say, oh, these prophets have said something. I'm going to possess my soul in patience. I'm going to pray for the nation, as I always do. I'm going to be optimistic. But I'm going to sit there and watch and see if those things happen or not. And it's not wrong to say that. So if Graham comes to town and says a tornado is going to blow through your town before the end of the month, wait till the end of the month. But if on day one of the next month, a tornado hasn't come through town, you have a right to say, you know, Graham, I love you, but I think you missed it. And if I then start spinning it and saying, well, I didn't really mean a tornado. I meant a tornado of love, a tornado of misinformation, a tornado of whatever. You would have a right to say to me, well, Graham, you probably should have told me that before, because I went to Home Depot and bought, you know, boarding and sandbags or whatever and protected my house. So my point is, don't be, test number two, do these things actually happen? Test number three, I would say, does it carry the heart of God? You know, at times there are words people can give and you should test them. We test the gifts of the Spirit, but also test the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, self-control, and I'm forgetting one. But my point is, does it actually smell of Jesus? Now, again, at times, God can bring some hard words. God will come at times and say to people, repent. But he always says, though your sins be red as scarlet, they'll be white as snow. He doesn't come and just condemn. So does it carry the flavor in the heart of Jesus? Two other quick tests. When somebody gives me a prophetic word, I would also say, has this person, at least in my experience, established a testimony of accuracy? So I've had the experience this week, and I honestly don't know of people sending me words by internet prophets I've never heard of. I frankly don't have the time to sit there watching internet prophets all the time. It's not my thing. And I've looked at some of these and thought, some of these guys could be genuine or might not be. I don't know. I've asked some friends, hey, were they predicting COVID before it happened? Were they predicting 9/11? Did they have a good track record of that? Or did they have a good track record of when they've said something and if it didn't happen, owning it? And I don't know. About 10 years ago, I went to preach in a church. I won't say where, but a wonderful church. And on the day I arrived, the pastor actually told me, he said, my wife has terminal cancer. I was preaching there, and he actually said, you know, what are you hearing from God? If you hear something from God about my wife, let me know. And I prayed about it. And during the service, it's a really tough one to say, but I really felt the Lord say, his wife's going to die. Not that God wanted her to die. God doesn't send cancer. I know all that, but that's what would happen. And at the end, you know, that's a really hard word to give somebody, isn't it? And yet, in the end, I said, you know, I believe God's going to carry you through this season. It's going to be a hard season. And God's going to welcome her into heaven. And, you know, I gave him that word wisely, carefully, but I said that. And, you know, he thanked me. And It's funny, he said to me about 2 years later, I was once in a car with, I won't mention the guy's name, but a nationwide prophet. We were both speaking together at this man's church. And he turned to both of us and he said, in that season, in the 6 months before my wife died, he said, I had about 40 prophets come through the church nationwide, you know, big name prophets. And I asked them all the same question. What is God saying? And he turned to us and he said, you two are the only one who said the truth, that she was going to die. Now, you know, that's, here's my point. I've established credibility in the eyes of that man. Now, if I come tomorrow with another word, it doesn't mean he has to follow it, but he probably puts more weight on it because I've established that credibility. So it's not wrong. Here's my point. If God has somebody who's a voice in your life and they prove that again and again and again, you should put a lot of weight on what they say. If some random stranger shows up, if I were to go to the same town I mentioned where this pastor pastors and go to another church down the road who's never heard of Graham Jones, doesn't know me from Adam, and bring a word from God, they wouldn't be wrong if they said, well, Graham, that's really nice, but who are you? You know, we don't recognize your ministry here. And I would completely accept that. So I would put that test there as that number four. You know, have they established a track record for you? And if they have for you, you don't let them establish a track record for other people. Don't impose that on other people, okay? Last test, I would say, again, so many I could actually go through here, but when, you know, when somebody gives a word, I believe Holy Spirit in us should bear witness to that word, yeah? Come back to your own relationship with God. Pray about it. Don't just believe a word because you read it on the internet or because somebody said all the prophets are saying this. Go back to your relationship with God and pray it through. Now, at times, we're all influenced by what we want to happen. You know, my friend whose wife was dying of cancer probably could have really been influenced by what he wanted to have righteously. I think at the moment, a lot of people are also influenced by what we want to see happen in our nation. And I think that's a good thing. I'm one of them. But I think coming back and saying, Lord, here's what I want to see, but Lord, what are you truly saying? And here's my point, work through those things. So I would say to those who are skeptical of some of these prophecies at the moment, don't despise prophecy. Possess your soul in patience. You know, some of these people have said with the elections, there's going to be some surprise, this is going to change. Great. Personally, I hope so. But I would say wait and be patient and be respectful and careful. And I'd say to some of my friends who say, this is God, I 100% believe that. Rock on, Tommy. Amen. That's really good. But I would say also be willing to be honest if those things don't come to pass. Be willing to stand up and say, hey, obviously this person missed it, or I missed it by believing them. And let's not try to spin things and make them into something they're not. So let's be truly prophetic people. Good. Here's my last thought in here today. I believe more than anything before, more than any time before, this nation needs a spirit-filled prophetic church. It needs a church that's hearing from God. It needs a church that we can frankly walk into the White House or your house or my house and say, thus says the Lord. And people know that it's not just some vague fuzzy word with no accountability, that when we say something, it will really happen. In the Old Testament, there were prophets, and when they came to the capital, the king would say, do you come in peace or do you come in war? What is God saying? Anyway, the king, there were prophets, priests, and kings, but the kings would submit themselves under the prophets. Yeah, and it's really important, I think, that the church grows in this and we establish a testimony of hearing and walking with God. That is, we keep our integrity and our credibility. You know, somebody I really love is Sean Bolts. I recommend his ministry to you. He's incredibly accurate. I mean, names, phone numbers, social security numbers kind of level. But at the same time, walks in real humility. You know, anytime I've seen him giving words like nobody else on planet Earth I've ever seen. I've seen a lot. But I also see nearly all the time him saying, I think God's saying, or I could be wrong. If I'm wrong, it's me. And walk in real humility and also carry in the heart and the love and the, you know, his words are always going to end in God loves you and he's for you and he's working out his dreams through you and not grandstanding in those things. So a few thoughts there on the prophetic. Let's grow in that. Let's be the best version of ourselves. And don't let people push you or tell you you're not allowed to question these things or ask honest questions, that's communism. That's bigotry. That's, you know, the cancel culture. That's being a snowflake. If somebody, if I come to you with a word from God and you're not allowed to question it, suddenly I've become a dictator and we really don't want that. So let's be the best version of ourselves. Good. Hey, tomorrow I'm going to be in Sturbridge preaching on the baptism in the Holy Spirit in the morning, and then in the town of Otis in the Berkshires, 4 p.m. Sunday afternoon, speaking on, what am I speaking on? Actually speaking on processing the prophetic, more at an individual level, but some of the things I've spoken about today. So, hey, bless you guys. I hope that clarifies some things and helps you. Hey, if you don't get some of that or you disagree, I'd love to interact with you. Drop me a comment. Let's keep it respectful. And let's pray for our nation. Amen. Guys, cheering you on. Have a wonderful day in the kingdom. Bye for now.